Oliver Callan on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Get Set Go. Get comprehensive car insurance today at getsetgo.ie.
Now, and you're very welcome back. It's Shea Byrne sitting in for Oliver today. Enda Kenealy is one half of Ibernia, a bilingual publishing house dedicated to deepening the cultural links between Ireland and Spain. And along with his business partner, Maria Correas, he spent many years uncovering the stories that connect both countries, from historical, political and literary ties to the contemporary voices shaping today's Ireland. The latest publication is a landmark moment for the first time ever. Sean O'Casey's iconic play, The Plough and the Stars, will be published in Spanish as a standalone edition. And Enda joins us on the line now. Enda, good morning to you.
Hello, how are you?
Thank you for taking the time to speak to us this morning. I'm sure I've butchered both Maria Correas' name and Ibernia. So how did I do?
No, you actually did perfectly. So well done. They're not difficult. They're not easy names or easy things to say, but you mastered them.
So many people in Ireland have been to Spain. So many people have gone to the coasts and the costas up and down Spain. Haven't made it to the empty centre. Haven't made it up north or south. But I increasingly find people are trying to learn a little bit of the language and experience some of the culture as well, which can be difficult to do in some of the holiday resorts. But I find that people are going to different places in Spain. So Spain is something that's very close to our hearts, and we know that we do have those ties. But The Plough and the Stars, O'Casey's The Plough and the Stars, so beloved in Ireland. Abbey production back in, I think it was 1926, it was first produced in the Abbey. It's so dear to our hearts. What made you want to translate it into Spanish?
Well, as you mentioned, it has such a strong connection to the Abbey Theatre. I think to date it's been performed there 56 times, which is an incredible amount and really reflects the cultural value of the play. Obviously, it forms part of the Dublin trilogy, but this one in particular really spoke to me because I feel like all great art, it has a universality and a timelessness to it that is just absolutely jaw-dropping and awe-inspiring. And as you mentioned, there are these deep links between Ireland and Spain. And since there's such a working class element and, the characters are from that part of Dublin, there's such an equivalence with the same type of people in Spain as well. And so there's that connection to Spain, but also he asks very serious questions. You know, independence is great, but what happens when people don't have enough food to feed themselves with? And obviously, you know, what is independence? Is it just political independence? Is there also economic independence as well? And, so I think just as a work of art, not only is there humor and great characters, but it's just very meaty. And I think it can appeal to a lot of Spanish people as well. So that's, some of the reasons why I wanted to approach this play in particular before the other ones in that trilogy.
Something I want to clear up, because people think translations, yep, and when we're translating a piece of literature for our play or whatever it might be from one language to another, this is not AI or Google Translate. this requires very, very subtle, and it's subjective as well, in the sense that it's the person who's with the translation, and usually sometimes can be a number of people doing the translation. There has to be a certain artistic and creative element to make it relevant to the language.
No, you're so right. And we were very lucky. We had almost a triple lock system, because we had, first of all, Martha Cayaba, who was a translator. And in fairness to her, she was the first person to approach us as well about approaching Literature Ireland to get a grant, which they very generously gave us to make this project a reality. So she did great work, and she lived in Dublin for a while in East Wall. She has a huge love of Irish culture. She speaks English with an Irish accent, so she obviously had a familiarity with the text, and she was a great resource in that regard. And obviously Maria is the Spanish half of Ibernia, so she was able to also, take a look at the Spanish, while Dennis Rafter, who writes the foreword to this copy, he's a legend in theatre circles here in Spain. There's an award named after him and everything. He obviously knows the play inside and out. He first saw it when he was 7 years old, and it really resonated with him. So he was able to check as well, being a bilingual speaker himself, that we managed to capture the essence of the play in Spanish, which is no mean feat, because really when it comes to translation, it comes to stripping something down and almost making it something new, yet ironically authentic, And Martha had a few, challenges in doing this, like any translator will have when approaching a work like this, from getting the humor, the alliteration of the play, all these different elements, but a lot of hard work went into it, and she deserves a lot of credit for making it happen as well.
I was thinking about where, obviously, the set in the pub and the home and O'Casey's. The Dublin trilogy is a particular, The Shadow of a Gunman, Juno and the Paycock, it has a particular resonance and a particular staging within Dublin in a certain time period as well, and how that might translate to Spain. And I've been in Madrid recently as well. And when you go to the older parts of Madrid, those little bars, those little brown bars with the ham hanging up, with the jamon hanging over the counter, and a single tap and the bottles behind the bar, and then the bins just in front of you for whether it might be sunflower seeds or whatever the tapas might be of the day. And I thought, that's actually where I could see this play being staged.
You just described the classic scene of Spain. So yeah, definitely that's Spain down to a T. And I think in the staging of it, I think Sean O'Casey was not just a playwright. He was almost like a great novelist, because his stage directions were so integral to the staging of the play. I mean, obviously every playwright will have stage directions that are relevant to the play that's going to be ultimately performed, but I think he took, you know, really great detail with that. And like when you're reading the play, that pub scene in Act Two, which is so fundamental almost to the story, maybe the most important scene, though that's obviously very subjective as well, you can just picture yourself there, like in that environment, in that silhouette in the window. And last Friday we actually did a dramatic reading of Act Two for the first launch of this in a bookshop called Tipos and Fames, and we had people like acting out that scene, but also we had like a silhouette painted on the wall to represent Patrick Pearce and a recording of an actor saying the lines from that play as well. So just in terms of just how it feels and how it looks, it's just amazing. Like, I'm in awe of how he's able to create this world and this atmosphere. It's fantastic.
If you look at documentaries of the time in Spain as well, and I've seen the costume that the working class people of Spain wore, it's not dissimilar. There's a flat cap, there's a waistcoat, there's trousers, leather shoes.
Yeah, it's incredible, because, yeah, that's another great similarity between both classes of people in that time period between Ireland and Spain. But in Spain, it's another level, because even at the weekend, I was walking around the city and I saw an elderly couple dressed like this, dancing traditional Spanish dance in Sol, and having a huge crowd around them. And every May, we have that San Isidro Festival, which is a huge deal here. San Isidro is the patron saint of Madrid. And people dress up, like the men dress up in these very elegant vests and suits and the flat cap as well. And the women have these beautiful dresses. So it's become a huge cultural phenomenon that still resonates today, like how they dressed and the clothes they wore in that period. It's incredible.
And is there an appetite for Irish literature in Spain, and will this translation be staged?
Well, it will be staged is the great hope, of course. So we'd love for that to happen. But in terms of how it will be received in Spain, I think there's a huge appetite for Irish literature. Wherever you go into a bookshop, whether it be an English language bookshop or a Spanish language one, you'll see Marion Keyes, you'll see Sally Rooney, you'll see Roddy Doyle, you know. So really, like, Irish literature is, and contemporary Irish literature is so richly enjoyed in Spain in general. And then Bloomsday, obviously connected to Joyce, is also a massive celebration every year. And St. Patrick's Day, I mean, when I first came here, it was nothing, you know? And now it's this huge thing where there's parades down the main streets of the city. So, you know, you never feel lonely on March 17th in Madrid. But so, you know, it's just like, why it's happened is also a great question. But I just know that Spain are really locked into Ireland at the moment. And it's great.
Enda, thank you for taking the time to speak to us today as well. The Plough and the Stars in Spanish, or, now forgive me, El Arado y las Estrellas, is available to buy on eBernia, YBERNIA.com. Launched officially on the 27th of November at the Irish Embassy in Madrid by Ambassador Brian Glynn. Enda Keneally, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us.